Are you superstitious? Do you know all of the superstitious things that theater people talk about? This is going to be a really fun episode of Casting Actors Cast.
Welcome to Casting Actors Cast. It's the podcast for actors in the business of show with casting director Jeffrey Dreisbach. Visit us at castingactorscast.com for more information. Please remember to subscribe and like Casting Actors Cast. Here is your host, Jeffrey Dreisbach.
Well, hello, and welcome to this episode of Casting Actors Cast. I'm Jeffrey Dreisbach. So great that you're here today. We have a real special show for you today. Something a little bit different, a little bit out of the ordinary, but I thought it'd be really, really fun to talk about because we're calling this episode Tempting Fate. And what do I mean by that? I'm going to tell you about that in just a second, but this is that moment in the podcast where I say thank you so very, very much for listening to Casting Actors Cast. It's so cool that you decide to show up and listen. This is a podcast for actors, so if you're an actor and you're interested in learning more about the business, if you want to continue to develop a really amazing community of actors, then you've come to the right place. I'm going to ask you to go to castingactorscast.com, all one word, Casting Actors Cast, and there you're going to find some freebies, but you're also going to see a downloadable contact form, which is going to give you access to an absolutely free 100-page book called Conversation Pieces Out of the Studio, the Voiceover Workshop for Professional Actors. It's a book that I wrote about being a voice actor, and I think you might find it really, really valuable, not just for voice acting, but a lot of colleges and universities are using this book in their curriculums, and I think it's really helpful. I think it's really practical. It's hands-on. And that's just my way of saying thank you. You know, I started this podcast because I really wanted to give back something that wasn't given to me when I got my BFA degree and was an actor professionally for over 20 years. And so now that I'm a casting director, I really felt that this would be kind of a cool way to share some experience and some background information and kind of let you know about the current trends that are taking place here in this industry. So thank you very much for going to Casting Actors Cast. And finally, I just want to say that we are also simulcasting this on YouTube, the YouTube channel called Casting Actors Cast. I mean, what else would it be called? But there it is. And I'm having a really good time with YouTube. Some of the earlier episodes, I've done about four now. They are, they're a work in progress. What can I say? The technical side of things is something I've been working on. And now I think I'm getting a little bit better at it. And so it's watchable now. And maybe you might prefer hearing or seeing me share this information with the audience. And that would be great. Speaking of the audience, we're well into over 12,000 downloads of Casting Actors Cast. And as I've said many times, I couldn't be more grateful. This is just a labor of love for me. And as long as you're there to listen, I am so happy to share this with you. So that's, again, my final thanks, but I'm sure I'm going to say thank you maybe, I don't know, a dozen more times. But anyway, this is going to be a really fun podcast for you today because we're calling it Tempting Fate. And what do I mean by that? Well, when I was a young actor starting out, I was really kind of taken aback when I was in community theater. I guess I was still in high school doing some community theater work. And I don't remember how it exactly got started, but I started talking about the plays that I was reading in high school backstage. And I said, yeah, and we have to do this report on Macbeth. And I had like three actors turn to me and their faces were like completely ashen. And they said, oh my God, you said it. Now you've done it. I was like, what have I done? Go outside of the room. You have to leave the room now, right now, turn around three times. Then you have to spit and then you have to swear, say your worst cuss word you can imagine. And then you have to ask permission to come back into the dressing room. I was like, y'all crazy. And they were like, no, you have to do that. So, you know, I was in high school. So I was like, okay. I didn't know what I did. I never heard this before. So I did exactly that. And then from that point on, in that little production, and honestly, I can't remember the name of the show that I was in, but in that production, I was informed about all of the backstage superstitions that actors abide by. And from that point on, I continued to remember each one of those superstitions, one of those little, you know, those little quirky things that actors do to for good luck. And I thought it'd be really kind of fun to talk a little bit about those today. Maybe there are some of these you've heard before. And if you had, that's great. Maybe there are some that you even haven't heard before. And if that's the case, then that's kind of cool, too, because maybe this is new. But I think the whole point of superstitions is that when we are a little bit nervous before going on stage and we have a great fear, we have a fear about whether there's success in the show that we're about to go on with. There's fear in our work. You know, are we going to be good enough? Are we going to fulfill the vision of the show? Just being in front of an audience. I mean, you know, that's enough to kind of make you kind of freak out a little bit. But I think because of those reasons, all throughout history, there have been these superstitious sort of elements that have creeped in over time. And I think what's really kind of fun now is that even over time, these same superstitions, people are very, very serious about their superstitions. Now, I'm not particularly a superstitious guy, but like the title suggests, I am not about to tempt fate when it comes to backstage superstitions. So let's go through a couple of backstage superstitions and talk a little bit about the origins of what they're about. And maybe you've heard something that's a little bit different than what I've heard. And if that's the case, please, please, please let me know. Send me a message and let me know that maybe there's one that I've missed. And maybe there are some new takes on some old superstitions, whatever. Suffice it to say that Thespis was the original actor in Greece millenniums ago, and he decided that there were certain rules that actors should abide by. And one of the Thespis, and his name is Thespis, and that's what we get the word thespian, meaning actor. He was considered, and is considered, the original actor. And Thespis had an interesting rule about taking one day off. He insisted that the theater be dark at least one night a week to appease the gods, so that all of this disruptive political acting in Greek theater, that there had to be one night where the gods were appeased. So that's why it's called dark night. So what's your dark night? And you hear that today. What night are you dark? And that literally means not only are the lights turned off, but that means that's an opportunity to appease the theater gods. So that's the very first one, I think, that I wanted to share with you, just because it sounds kind of interesting. Now, the other one is how some names and words got their origins. For example, in theater terms, it's called the green room. The green room. So the green room is always the lounge area, oftentimes just off stage, where the actors can relax prior to the showtime. And the reason it's called the green room, at least this is the reason I'm told. Again, if you've heard something different, please let me know. But the green room is where you're so nervous about going on stage that you literally turn green. So that's where everybody gathers and nervously shows their greenness by being so scared about going on stage. So that's the word green room. Also, I'm sure like one of the early rooms were painted green or something. I'm sure about that. But that seems a little too literal to have much fun with. We're going to paint it green. Therefore, it's the green room. So here are some others that you might or might not have heard of. Is whistling, either in the dressing room or in the wings off stage, is absolutely forbidden. You may not whistle. And what I find interesting is the origins of that is many times, especially in Elizabethan theater, many of the backstage crew were sailors. And the sailors would move the furniture and they would hoist the lines to move the scenery, to move the backdrops, all that stuff. And as it turns out, sailors often used whistling for signals to move the sails, to batten the hatches, to do all those sailor type things. And so if you were to be whistling backstage or off stage or in the green room, that might inadvertently send a sandbag flying or a piece of scenery falling. And so it was a literal thing, and it was about not putting yourself in danger. So whistling had a very, very practical application. Also, I've heard that whistling has a tendency to invoke the spirits, whatever that means, you know, whether they're ghosts. Are there stage ghosts? And if that's the case, whistling happens to call them. I'm not quite as convinced about that particular one, but nevertheless, that's no whistling. The other favorite one that I really like a lot is you hear the phrase, break a leg before going on stage. And there are several, and I did a lot of research about this, and there are several theories as to how that phrase, that term, break a leg, came about. One is that people in Elizabethan times, what they would do is they would stomp their feet on the floor instead of applauding. And that the theory is that you would be stomping your feet so hard because of the performance that was so great that you could literally break your leg. Yeah, I know. But that's one theory. Now, the theory that I kind of subscribe to because it has a very practical application, and that is the curtains on the left, stage left and stage right. Anyway, on stage left and stage right would be these long curtains that would come down in the wings, and they were called legs. And when you walked through the curtain, you would be literally breaking the leg. And so that was a good wish, a well wish. Break a leg, meaning go on out and do your thing. And so I kind of liked that one. The other theory is, of course, breaking a leg was something that the understudy would say to the lead performer. So that the understudy, break a leg, like, I hope you hurt yourself so that I get a chance to go on. So that's kind of cruel, but that is kind of a backhanded way of saying do a really, really great job. And if you happen to hurt yourself, I happen to be waiting. I'm one of those people that had the experience of having an understudy in a Broadway show that I did. And I could tell you it became quite challenging because I just didn't want the understudy to go on. And I just loved performing. But, you know, there were times when you had to let the understudy go on. But what's hilarious is the understudy would come to the dressing room before each and every show and say, so are you feeling okay? Are you feeling all right? Is everything okay? Are you doing all right? Are you feeling? And of course, there was one night where I was like, oh man, I don't know if I can, I just don't know if I. And then I would say, just kidding. I know, it's kind of cruel. But he did go on, and he did a great job. So break a leg has those three different connotations to them that I think are really a lot of fun. Now, here's the biggie. And I'm sure you might, if you're an actor, if you've had any experience at all, or if you're a new actor, this might be great because it's something you should know about. And I'm going to pass it along now. So it's valuable, I think. But you are not allowed to say the play by William Shakespeare, Macbeth. And I just said it. I don't happen to be on stage, although I'm on set. So I don't know if that counts. So I'm going to, after the end of this podcast, I'm going to go outside the room. I'm going to swear, and then I'm going to turn around three times, and then I'm going to ask permission to come back into the studio. But the term is the Scottish play. That's the name of the play you should use, the Scottish play, and not the M word. Its origins are really interesting because Shakespeare had a difficult time writing the Scottish play, and it also was a play that had more sword fighting than other Shakespearean offerings. And so there were many, many more injuries. And I think from that point on, mentioning the name of the play gave a different kind of intonation as to whether or not this would create a bad vibes, if you will, or a bad karma. stage karma. And so if that's the case, you know, be really, really careful. There are some actors who absolutely swear by it. And I think there's probably even I'm sure there's probably a doctorate candidate out there in theater who wanted to find the origins of it. I just haven't researched it that much to figure it out. But please make sure you call it the Scottish play. You won't get in trouble. Now, as far as rectifying that, if you do let it slip and turning around three times and spitting and swearing and asking permission to come back in the room, I have no idea. My guess is somebody just made that up or it has some kind of significance somewhere. So if you're listening out there or watching out there, please let me know if you know any more information about how when you say the Scottish play, it ends up being rectified by leaving, spinning, spitting, re-entering. Because I would really love to know that. Now, earlier I talked a little bit about whistling and how that might even attract the theatrical spirits, ghosts. One of the things I love about being a stage actor was that at the end of the performance and even on the dark night would be the single light would be brought out by a stagehand usually and be set out in the middle of the stage. And it was a single light bulb. All the other lights in the entire theater would be turned off with this single glowing bulb that would be left on all the time up until prior to getting ready for the next performance. Even. So that light happens to be called a ghost light. And the reason I think it's called a ghost light, and what I'm told is the reason, is that having a single light in the theater wards off any potential ghosts that might want to come on stage and do damage to sets or props. Okay, now the practical reason of having that light is if you enter a dark theater and there's no light and there's maybe a trap door that's open or maybe the edge of the stage can't be seen, that ghost light is there literally to keep you from falling and hurting yourself. So it has a very, very practical application to it, a practical reason to it, but I kind of like to think about ghosts. I don't think there's a theater I have not been in that didn't have a ghost. And whether somebody died or not doesn't seem to matter. It seems that there is a ghost that lives in every theater. So those are the basic ones that I've heard about. But there are a few that I want to share with you now. And maybe you've heard of these and maybe you can enlighten me as to where these came about and tell me if you've heard any of these. One superstition is that it's a bad luck to wear blue on stage. Now, I had not heard that before. This is in coming and doing some research, and there were a couple of Brits who were talking about wearing blue was just simply bad luck. Again, I'm not sure where that came from or how that came to be, but I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. And suddenly I'm thinking about, you know, all the shows that I've done. Have I ever worn blue? And honestly, I can't really remember specifically having a blue costume, so I don't know. Maybe there's some truth to that. The second costume item that is kind of not a good thing is whether or not you are wearing peacock feathers. Again, I'm not sure what the origin of having peacock feathers are, but apparently it's bad luck to wear peacock feathers on stage. Again, I'm just passing this along. I'm just a conduit sharing this information, and I don't have any more information than that. And peacock feathers are rather beautiful, but I don't know, maybe there's some kind of bad luck involved. Oh, here's another one that I've heard of. And that is, it's bad luck to have three candles together on stage. Three candles are really considered bad luck. The theory goes that the person who's closest to the shortest candle, the person who's closest to the shortest lit candle on stage is either going to get married, and I'm not sure why that would be bad luck. I've been married. Or, interestingly enough, maybe that person is going to die. Yeah, maybe that person is going to be the next person to die. That's kind of awful, right? I've never heard of that before. It was only in doing research that I found all of these out. I thought it was pretty, pretty interesting. And the final one I want to share with you, I thought was kind of cool, was that if you're in rehearsal for a play, and let's say you're on stage and there's no audience, you are not supposed to say the last line of the play if there is no audience. You're supposed to just stop, don't deliver the last line, and let that just stay there until you have an audience, in which case you can go ahead and say the last line of your play. I thought that was kind of fun as well. Now, that's why I think if you have an invited audience, that makes it okay, I'm sure. If it's just some previews going on and you're just previewing it prior to the opening night and you've got people in the audience, I think that's okay too. Anyway, I've had a lot of fun putting this together. I hope you've had some fun watching. It's a little bit different than what we do in our normal podcast, but, you know, we want to change it up a bit. Again, I want to thank you very much for listening to Casting Actors Cast. We're going to have another podcast every Thursday. And please let me know what you think by going to castingactorscast.com and leave me a note. Any questions that you have, any comments, anything that you have to share with me, I might put it on the air, but I'll ask you first, of course. But it helps me perpetuate new information all just for you, the actor. Anyway, don't be superstitious. It's all good. I'm Jeffrey Dreisbach, and this is Casting Actors Cast.
Casting Actors Cast is made possible with your support, just by listening. Please like, share, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Caitlin Clark.